statements thus far, and she has one more, and then she begins radiation treatment. So please continue to keep blending your prayer. But that's just some updates on some of the folks that we've been praying about. Of course, you know, we've been praying for Shirley. We've been praying for Miss Jean, and, you know, here they are, right? So God continues to pour out His blessings on us as we continue to reach out to Him and to pray to Him. We've been talking about in this prayer ministry, this, you know, desire that we have and a focus that we have to really be a house of prayer. Not just to be one, but to be known by other folks as a house of prayer. That if someone has a need, that they know this is a place they can come to and bring their prayer request, and we will present them before the Lord. And that's what we're really trying to do. We've been talking about ways that we can learn some things about how to pray more effectively and better, and talking about the importance of listening to what God has to say and doing what God tells us to do. We've talked some about, you know, that whole thing that we all face. We run into struggles. We find ourselves at the bottom, so to speak. Like Jonah, we saw a few weeks ago, you know, there inside the belly of the fish in total despair, in what we would think would be a hopeless situation. The Bible tells us that from inside the fish, Jonah prayed. In other words, in that time of despair and that hopeless situation, we learn that prayer is vitally important to us, that we need to be calling out to God like that. And last week we talked about that peace that we really can't understand, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. If we will go to Him and bring whatever it is in thanksgiving to God, the big and the small, but we don't have to worry about it. Not be anxious about anything. See? Well, as we're looking at all these things about prayer and how do we build a more effective, a more powerful prayer life, there's a part that we really have to look at so that we make sure that we don't stumble, so to speak, in our prayers. And the passage that we had read for us as we began this morning, okay, where we're told how, you know, and that's for, you know, the husband specifically, you know, we need to be considering how we're treating our wives. Why? Because in the way that we treat our wives, and I'd suggest to you in the way that we treat one another, would be for all of us. It says there, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Well, I got to thinking about that passage some. And I got to thinking about along the line of going, well, okay. So, you know, there really are some things that we can find from the Bible, things that will hinder our prayers. And so as we're praying to God and we're coming to Him, as we've been seeing all along that God wants us to do that, right? He wants us to call upon His name. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to share with Him what our needs are. But then we have to understand that there's a possibility that there are things that are hindering our prayers. There are things that could get in the way. In other words, even cause God not to listen to our prayers. So we need to take a look at what are some of those things? What are some things that the Bible indicates to us that would hinder our prayers? Things that would get in the way? Things that would cause God not to listen to us when we pray. So let's take a look at some things this morning that might hinder our prayer so that we can understand and then we can make sure we get those things out of our lives so that when we're praying before God, that those things or anything else is not going to get in the way between us and God hearing and answering our prayers. We begin over in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. The first, what I'm going to refer to as a prayer killer, okay, is doubt. Look at what James has to say, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 1. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So, you know, we talked about last week promises that God makes to us, right? We saw that, you know, there are times when God makes promises to us in these things. And I would consider this, wouldn't you, to be a promise? You know, that he's saying, look, if you lack wisdom, if you find yourself in a situation or a circumstance where I don't know about you, but I find myself like this all the time. You know, I'm going, I don't have enough wisdom to figure this situation out. I don't know what to do in this circumstance or this situation. God, I need your wisdom to help me to know how to respond or how to react or what to do, where to go, how to deal with this. I don't have the wisdom within me to do that. God, I need your wisdom. And he's promising us here that he'll do that, right? Isn't that what he says? If we lack wisdom, we should ask God. And it will be given to him. That's a promise. Verse 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So you see, doubt is a hindrance to our prayers, isn't it? Now what he's saying here? That if we're going to ask God, we need to believe and not doubt. And he uses the comparison to that of like a wave that's tossed by the sea. You've seen movies. Some of you may have been out on a ship or a boat out in the water, and the waves are blowing. And how stable are those waves when they're being tossed around out there? You see? You can't count on them for anything, can you? And that's kind of what he's talking about here. That a person who would pray to God, but yet at the same time while they're praying to God would have doubt that God could do what they're asking him to do, he's saying, don't even bother to do that. Don't come to me and ask me, because if you do, I'm not going to answer you if you're going to come and pray with doubt. When we come to God, we need to come in faith. You see? We need to believe that God can handle whatever this situation is that we're dealing with. Okay? Because if we go with doubt, then he's telling us here, I'm not going to answer. That man, he says, should not expect he's going to receive anything if we're praying in doubt. Okay. So we need to understand the importance of faith, and we need to understand the power of doubt to stop or to hinder our prayers. There's a story in Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 11. Turn over there for just a moment and look at this. This is an interesting story, but it's an example of exactly what James is talking about right here. Peter has been in prison, and he has this miraculous escape from prison. And so, you know, as an angel is leading him out of the prison and so forth, he comes, look beginning in verse 11, after he gets out of the prison, he's there on the street, he came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt. Funny how those kind of words just kind of pop up in there, don't they? Without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were... What were they doing while they gathered there? They're praying. What do you suppose they might have been praying about? Probably Peter being in prison, right? Okay. So here they are gathered praying, and Peter, verse 13, knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." Verse 15. "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." Wait a minute! Isn't that what you were just praying for? You see? And then God answered the prayer, and they're going, "Oh, you're out of your mind." Well, why were you bothering to pray? If you don't think that God could do what you're asking Him to do, why are you bothering? You see? And that's exactly what they were doing. They're praying, and then God answers the prayer, and they're going, "No, it didn't happen. Now, you don't know what you're talking about." Well, Peter, he knows, doesn't he? Look at what happens here. Peter keeps on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, I love this, they were what? Astonished. You suppose maybe they were praying without faith? See? Oh, brethren, let us not be like these folks here we're being when we're praying. See? Let's believe that God can do what we're asking Him to do. God can handle anything that we can run into, can't He? Anything. We need to come to Him in faith and not doubt that He can do what we ask for. Because again, look at verse 7 of James chapter 1. When we pray with doubt, He says, that man should not think he will receive anything. Okay? So doubt is one of those hindrances to our prayers. See, that we got to get that out of there. If we expect God to answer our prayers. Another one of those hindrances to our prayer is found over in James chapter 4. Turn over there for just a moment. James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 2, he says, "You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive." Why? "Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely?" You see, that one of those huge hindrances to our prayers is that we pray with wrong motives. Pray with wrong motives. So, you see, here's an important question that we need to be asking ourselves about our prayers. It is the why. Not just what are we praying for, but why are we praying for that? You see, if we're praying for the wrong motives, God's not going to answer that prayer. Isn't that what He's telling us here? You see? And so if we're praying, and just stop and think about it for a minute, you know, and maybe you've done this before. Maybe you've prayed, you know, something like, you know, "God, if you could just help me win the lottery." Or "God, I sure would like to have a shiny new car." Okay. Or whatever it is that we're asking God to bless us so that, as James says, so we can spend what we get on ourselves. And he's saying that's the wrong motives for us to be praying. Now, let's make sure we understand. Is he saying here that, okay, if I'm praying because I need a new vehicle because mine is broken down, is that wrong? I don't think so. Not if I'm willing to use that vehicle in the service of the Lord. I need it, right? I need it to be able to work, to be able to get to a job and all those. But, you know, there's a difference between praying for a new Mercedes, you say, and praying for new transportation. Because I want the new Mercedes so that I can impress other people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a Mercedes if that's what you can afford and all that kind of stuff. And you know, but you understand my point. What's our motives in doing that? Okay. Should we then pray when we have physical illnesses and ask God to heal us? Well, is that selfish? I'm asking God to do something for me. I don't think that's what he means here. Okay. Especially if I'm going to be praying, asking God to heal me so that I can continue to be a servant to him in his kingdom. Okay. So we have to stop and look at what is the motivation behind what it is we're asking God to do. What is it that we are asking God for? Let me ask you this. You know, instead of asking God to help you to win the lottery, maybe we should be asking God to help us, just help us with our finances. Maybe help us to be better stewards. Or maybe help us to live within our means. You see the difference between those. It's all about the why. We've got to search the why. Because why speaks of motives. Okay? And James is telling us here, look, if we're praying, if we're asking, and we're doing it with wrong motives, we're not going to get anything from God. So motives can be, if they're wrong motives, they can be a hindrance through our prayers, can't they? And then finally, there's disobedience toward God. It is a hindrance to our prayers. Look over in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Wow. I like the fact that he talks about this confidence that we can have before God. And how do we have that confidence? He says, if our hearts do not condemn us. Well, how can we keep that from happening? How can we have a right heart or a heart that doesn't condemn us before God? He indicates that it's by obeying his will, isn't it? Okay. So as we've come back so many, many times in so many studies we've done, doesn't it always come back to being a matter of the heart? Over and over and over again, it's where our heart is, isn't it? You see? And so God wants us to have a right heart before him. If our heart is right, then we're going to have confidence. And we should have confidence before him. And what does that confidence overcome? Doubt that we talked about in the first thing. You see how that works? You see? So if our heart is right before God, you see, then we can have confidence to approach him. Okay? We can approach him knowing that he hears us. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says over in chapter 10. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for just a moment. Beginning in verse 19, he says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, what is he talking about there? How do we enter the most holy place? By the blood of Jesus. How do we do that? He's certainly not talking about physically here only. I think he's talking spiritually. We can enter that holy place, that most holy place, and present our request to God. You see, under the old law, the most holy place was that place behind the curtain, wasn't it? And who was allowed to go there? Only the high priest. You see? And he went there to offer sacrifice and prayers before God on behalf of the people. And here the writer of Hebrews is telling us, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. See? Since we have that. And that confidence is by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Look at verse 22. Mark this, underline it, whatever you want to do, highlight it. He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Not doubt, faith, you see. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. You see, God wants us to have confidence when we come to Him. And He's provided the means by which we can do that, the blood of His Son, Jesus. He's already taken care of reconciling the relationship. We are living in obedience to God. Then our heart is right with God. We can approach His throne of grace with confidence. See, knowing that He's hearing us. When we're disobeying God, we're living in rebellion to Him, and we can't expect God to answer our prayers. That's a hindrance to us, our disobedience. God, in fact, will not listen to our prayers if we're living in disobedience to Him. You see, it's vitally important for us to understand as we focus on prayers, we're trying to build and strengthen our relationship with God through prayer. It's vitally important that we understand that there are things that can hinder our prayers before God. And these are some of the things that the Bible shares with us to help us to understand. We've got to get these things out of there. Otherwise, our prayers will fall on God's deaf ears. He won't listen. Okay? So the challenge is for us to look at our prayers and say, you know, are we praying in faith or are we praying with doubt? Or what is our motive? Why am I asking God for this particular thing, whatever it is? I need to ask that. I need to look at it and question my motives in the prayer. And then I need to be looking at my life and to see, am I living in rebellion to God, or am I living in obedience to Him? Okay? Because to live in rebellion, disobedience, will hinder our prayers. So let me ask you this. Think about what you're doing. Think about your prayer life as it is right now. Do you have a struggle with doubt as you're facing whatever it is you face in your life? You having a struggle with doubting whether God can really help you to deal with that? Or look at your prayers and ask yourself, why are you praying? Are you looking at that and you see, maybe I've been praying with wrong motives here? Or perhaps looking at your life overall and realizing that there's some things that are going on in your life that you know are wrong, that you know that God doesn't want you to be doing. You need to get rid of those things. Because as long as you're continuing to live in those things, God will not answer your prayers. You have an opportunity right now this morning. Let's get rid of that stuff. Okay? Let's get rid of it. So that nothing will be hindering your prayers. Okay? Tom, if you'll come up and lead us in a song, we're going to use this as an invitation song. And if we can help you in any way with your prayer life, or if you're ready to give your life to Christ and become a Christian if you're not already one, you can do that this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life,
and call upon Him as such, and repent of your sins that are separating you from God, and be baptized in Christ this morning. You can do that if that's what you're ready to do. You can do it right now. Let's stand together and sing. Stand together.